Welcome to the Aaron Wallace Career Success Masterclass. My name is Rob Scott, and in this module, we're going to be looking at second interview preparation and particularly looking at presentations at second interview. So if you're listening to this or reading this because you've made it through to the second round of interviews, congratulations. Second interviews are very different to first interviews. First interviews tend to be personality, character, do you have the basic skills and experience, can I see you fitting in with the rest of the team, can they see you reporting into them. They tend to be quite nice. Second interviews are about facts, figures, and ultimately, can you do the job? We commonly hear at Aaron Wallace after the first interview that it was a great interview. It's really enjoyable. It was like two strangers having a chat in the pub. We got on like a house on fire. It was brilliant. What a fantastic guy. We love him. And then after the second interview, they come out and go, gosh, that was tough. He was horrible. He was a completely different bloke. There was no warmth there. There was no rapport there at all. Is this fair? Yes, it's totally fair. At the second interview stage, a business has to take a conscious business decision as to whether you are the right person that meets their needs. So should you change your approach accordingly? Never. Not at all. You were invited back after the first round of interviews because the company felt that there was a cultural match and that you had the skills and the personality to succeed. To change, you'd be a phony, you'd be fake. So don't ever do it. Second interviews are normally more formal than the first stage interviews and normally involve more than two representatives from the employer. And it's not unheard of these days to have a panel of five or six. Second interviews may involve a formal presentation. In technical interviews, it may involve a practical exercise. It may even contain role plays. It may even mean going out for the day with an existing sales guy. But typically at the end of the meeting, you'll get the opportunity to meet the team that you'd be working with and have a tour around the premises and have a demonstration of the products. Getting the balance right. Remember that interviews are a two-way thing. It is as important for you to make the right decision as it is for the company to make the right business decision as to whether you're right for the company. So 10 minutes of preparation of questions before the second interview could save you 10 months of pain and a career setback. So before the interview, it's imperative you prepare some probing questions to ensure that the business is right for you. And don't be afraid at second interview of being direct and frank in your questioning. Second interviews are all about the detail. You've got to know your facts. At a second interview stage, coming out with statements like, I was above target, just isn't enough. The detail is going to be grilled, so you've got to know the facts and the detail. What was the target? How did you perform against that target? Who were the major accounts that you won? How did you win them? Blank sheet of paper, tell me exactly the process you went through to get in front of that client in the first place. How many meetings thereafter did it take to crack that account, etc., etc. What was it worth? What did you do to win the account and then maintain that account? For some reason, when sales professionals, even senior sales professionals, are questioned on this detail, they fall apart and the facts go straight out of their mind. So a good exercise to do is to get your CV and just go through it from top to bottom, key facts, key details. It's also useful to take along to a second interview a brag file. Now, a brag file is just a file that contains any information that will back up your claims at interview, including things like educational certificates, P60s, sales league tables, testimonials from clients, references from employers, military service records, proof of membership of associations. Then when the detail is grilled, you've got the information to hand to prove to the potential employer that it is correct. It's also imperative that you do not contradict what you said in the first interview, or that you change your style or personality from the first interview. You should have taken notes at the first interview. Ensure that the night before or the morning before the meeting, you do reread through your notes and make some more questions from that. And it's also useful to read through the website and through the financials again. Second interviews also give you the chance to expand upon what was discussed at the first interview. It may have been certain projects or plans or new products that the employer or the potential employer was looking to launch. You could have discussed targets, products, routes to market, whatever it may be. Now that you've had the gap between first and second interview, you're in a great opportunity to research that in a bit more depth, to be more fluid and knowledgeable at that second stage. Now onto the highly emotive subject of money. Do I mention it or not? Money is a subject that should be discussed at second interview stage, but rarely is. It's just not English to discuss something as crass as money in an interview. My recommendation is to not bring up the subject of money too early, as you don't want to come across as an individual that solely cares about money. But it's also good practice to wait until the employer is definitely interested in you before discussing money, because then you're in a position of strength. Whilst discussing basic salaries, it may be something of a taboo, I think it's perfectly reasonable and acceptable to ask about the commission and bonus scheme face-to-face at a second interview stage. If the OTE is £60,000 off a basic salary of £35,000 and the bonus scheme is 5% of gross profit, ask to see the sales figures so that you can corroborate in your own mind that the OTE is realistic and achievable in your first year. Negotiating the package that's right for you. If you've completed the job search checklist, which was right at the very beginning of the Career Success Masterclass, you should know your bottom line for both basic salary and the overall package. It's really important that you know your market worth, so look at sales salary surveys or search for the kind of jobs that you're going for on job boards to get a rough gauge. Here at Erin Wallace, we're also able to give you current advice on what is the going rates. If you're attending an interview via a third party like Erin Wallace, it's always best to leave the negotiation to the go-between, to the third party. Money is a very emotive subject, and both the employer and the candidate can sometimes offend each other so much that it's a parting of the ways. Negotiations really do have to be handled correctly. So if you're in a second interview and the employer is looking to thrash out the deal on the spot, face to face, always try and get the employer to quote the figures first. You're then in a much, much better position to negotiate. So if you're asked the question, you know, what basic salary are you looking for? Reply with an answer such as, well, what do you think an individual with my skills and experience should expect? Or alternatively, I am looking for a basic salary in the range of X, slightly above the bottom line that you detailed, to X, slightly above the maximum advertised or detailed by your recruitment consultancy. Then you're going to settle somewhere which is comfortable for all parties. Different companies remunerate their staff in different ways. Some pay high basic salaries with very little on-target earnings and no frills in terms of perks. Some pay an adequate basic, minimal OTE, but loads and loads of additional perks. Therefore, you need to weigh up the total package on offer. And it's useful when negotiating terms to put a price on all of the various elements of the overall package. So remember to take into consideration things like, if you're driving to and from a base, which is further than what you currently are, obviously it's going to be extra fuel cost. Normally you can't reclaim this, so you need to factor that in. Similarly, if the company doesn't pay pension during a probation period, how much is that loss of pension contributions going to cost you during the initial few months so that you can top it up yourself? If you need to relocate, are you being recompensed? Similarly, private healthcare, if during the